Welcome to the Natural Healing Show. Keep it natural, be the Natural Healing Show.
Hello, you are listening to the Natural Healing Show for UK Health Radio. I'm your host, Catherine Kerrigan, medical intuitive healer, Amazon number one best-selling author. You can find out more about me and my work at CatherineKerrigan.com and UnlimitedEnergyNow.com. While you're there, definitely sign up for my newsletter so you can learn even more about how you can heal yourself naturally. Now, I've got a great treat for you. I love interviewing master healers from around the world. Jean Dow is a medical herbalist. She's coming to us from her herbal dispensary in the Isle of Skye in Scotland. And she is a functional medicine practitioner. You can find out more about Jean Dow and her wonderful work at jeandowherbalist.co.uk and also cognition.co.uk. Welcome, Jean Dow.
Thank you, Catherine. It's lovely to be here.
So, Jean Dow, we're going to be talking with you today about your Brain Vitality Project. What exactly is the Brain Vitality Project and what inspired you to create it?
So I'm one of a double act. So I have my own professional clinic as a herbalist and functional medicine practitioner, and my colleague and work buddy Charmaine Shepherd has her own private practice as a functional medicine practitioner, and together we both run a clinic called Cognition. Now, Cognition is a clinic that's focused specifically on brain health, focused on working with patients living with dementia and living with Alzheimer's, so any form of dementia and Alzheimer's. And the inspiration behind it really came from the work that we have been doing with patients. So we have been working with patients for about 8 years. That we're actually living with dementia, and we've done very, very detailed work with them, which we can talk a little bit about later, about the dementia system and program and things that are going on. But the Brain Vitality Project, what happened was, after working with patients living with dementia for over 8 years now, we really feel that our focus has been very much switched to not just working with patients with it, but actually preventing patients getting dementia. And when we were working in the early stages, you know, it was very much a case that everyone thought that there was nothing you could do. Once you had dementia, that was it. And there was nothing that you could do to stop it. And we started working early on because we were following the work of Dr. Dale Bredesen. And of course, his work, which we can talk about later, was really quite phenomenal in talking about the various causes potentially behind dementia. And so after 8 years of working with patients, we decided that really we needed to drive this focus towards prevention. So we set up the Brain Vitality Project, which is a series of six workshops where we're really trying to work with patients, with people who don't have dementia. Anyone, if you look at the prevalence in the UK, one in three women, it's a leading cause of death in the UK for women. One in three women will actually develop either Alzheimer's or dementia at some point in their life. And we decided that we really needed to start working with prevention at this point. And the other mistake that's often made is that dementia happens when you get your first symptoms. Dementia starts 20 years before. And so we set up this Vitality Project, this series of workshops where we run weekly workshops, teaching everyone about what they can do and empowering people for change, really.
So Jean Dow, just listening to you, I'm like, oh my gosh, we all need to learn this information. Where
yes.
can people go to sign up to participate in your weekly workshops? And are these workshops online?
They're online. Everything's online so that it can be accessed by anyone. They're on Zoom, which most people, since the pandemic, most people have become expert in Zoom. So we run them online so that we can access everyone. If anyone wants to just go to our website, there's a sign-up link on our website, and they're accessible for everyone.
And that's cognition.co.uk. Now let's go back to the beginning. What exactly is dementia? And you mentioned that people actually start getting dementia 20 years before they get symptoms. So what is dementia, and what causes dementia?
Well, this is a really interesting question. So, first of all, we used to think that dementia, as I said, was something that you couldn't avoid, that there was nothing actually that you could do about it. And the kind of mainstream model very much of dementia is that there is a decrease in the ability of the brain's function to retain fact. We have a breakdown of memory. We have a breakdown potentially in, and there's many causes, obviously vascular disease and obviously Alzheimer's itself. And the mainstream approach to this has always been that there's been a buildup of amyloid in the brain, and that this amyloid in the brain is blocking the signals happening in the brain, which means that the kind of firing that happens in the brain doesn't happen as efficiently. And so the main focus from mainstream medicine up until now has been very much that if we clear amyloid, which is the main cause of a breakdown of brain function, then dementia should go away and we should be able to improve it. And that's where all the treatments have failed. Every single drug that has come out up until now has failed, has limited success. It can delay, it can slow things down ever so slightly, but ultimately the drugs will stop working. And so mainstream medicine has always seen this as a kind of one-way trajectory. And this is where the cause becomes complicated because we can't quite say amyloid is the cause. The work that Dr. Dale Bredesen has been doing has been looking to say, well, why does one person get dementia and another person doesn't get dementia?
So, Jean Dale, I'm going to interrupt you here. For our audience,
Absolutely.
can you explain what exactly is amyloid and what in our diet or lifestyle causes amyloid? So, amyloid plaque buildup, what is amyloid?
So amyloid is a plaque. It's almost like we know about plaques in the cardiovascular system. We know all about cardiovascular plaques. Well, amyloid is a similar type of plaque and protein that's built up in the brain, and it basically disrupts the messages being sent from one neuron to another.
And
The constitution.
what lifestyle factors cause amyloid plaque to build up in the brain?
This is the controversy. So, as far as kind of mainstream medicine has basically pretty much said that, you know, this is just a byproduct of potentially too much cholesterol and hardening of the arteries and some cardiovascular issues. But the research that's coming out now from people like Dale Bredesen is showing that he has actually identified something like 36. If I explain a little bit about what Dale Bredesen has been working with, and what now more and more research is coming out talking about, is that he identified that there could be as much as 36 plus contributors to cognitive decline. And his research that he's done extensively has showed that amyloid is a secondary issue to primary issues going wrong in the body, and it's a protective mechanism. And we can actually see that because when one of the things that happens when patients go on to drugs that are, you know, stripping amyloid from the brain, the minute the drugs stop working and the amyloid has potentially been stripped out, there is a really rapid decline. And Dale Bredesen was putting forth the argument that actually that amyloid has been laid down as a protective measure to protect the brain because there's something else going wrong. And he places it down into The kind of root causes could be things like blood sugar dysregulation, chronic inflammation, hormonal imbalances, stress, poor sleep, toxin exposure, nutrient deficiencies, and gut dysfunction. And so it's almost as though in functional medicine, what we're looking at is a total body burden. And it's almost as though there comes a tipping point where the body is so overloaded with so many things going wrong that it reaches a tipping point. And so the focus that that we have is very much looking at all of those factors. And of course, the research now is now the research now is massive. In the last few years, it's massively coming out, saying that up to 50% of dementia can be prevented through lifestyle.
That's very encouraging. Now,
Yes.
Jean Dow, who is Dale Bredesen, and what is the Dale Bredesen protocol that you follow at cognition.co.uk?
So Dale Bredesen is a neuroscientist and researcher. He has been researching the field of dementia for decades. He has actually his the one of his research his first research study that came out, which is a very, I will always say, is a very, very small research study, because as you can imagine, he is researching natural medicines and alternative medicines, not drugs. And so whenever you're actually researching anything that doesn't have a drug outcome, you don't get much funding for it. So all of the studies that were done, certainly very, very early on in the beginning, were very small. But he started with these small studies, and 84%, there was an 84% positive response in the trial A, which was only involving 25 patients. And 84% reported subjective cognitive improvement. And these were all measured by mainstream medicine cognitive measurements. So 21 out of 25 participants re recovered, had improvements in 84%. And this study was actually published in the Journal of Alzheimer's Disease. But not only that, in 2024, he followed up beyond 5 to 10 years. There was a case study that showed that with 7 years of follow-up, it showed that there was long-term sustained cognitive, not just stability, but improvement in some cases. And anyone who hadn't improved, once they were back on the program of lifestyle changes and things, they regained their improvement. And so his strategy is trying to identify what these causes are. That great big long list that I gave before, the strategy is actually trying to identify which of these components, is it one of them? Is it all of them? Which component is going wrong? And how can we affect that? And that's the work that Charmaine and I have been doing for 8 years, working with patients.
Now, Jean Dow, you are a brain expert. So, one question that I like to ask my guests here at the Natural Healing Show, as a brain expert, how do you take care of your own brain? What is your lifestyle so we can learn from what you do? How do you take care of your own brain?
I'm really, really careful about my brain health. I'm lucky I'm a functional medicine practitioner because I have access to all of this information. I'm also lucky I'm a medical herbalist because I have some of the most amazing, potent medicines that have in clinical studies been shown to improve neuroplasticity in the brain. In other words, the brain's ability to regrow neural pathways and increase dendrite forming, which is how the brain talks. It's like spiders' legs, they talk to each other. Me, I come from a family with a strong history of diabetes type 2 and type 1. And one of the biggest factors in brain health, for brain health, is blood glucose control and insulin control. And this is something I can happily say I battle with. And so the way I deal with it is I'm lucky where I live. I live in a beautiful island. I do a lot of exercise. I do weights and stamina and the kind of exercise that's really challenging your muscles, because it's been shown that muscles will use more glucose than any other element in the body. So I do weights. I run. I keep my weight steady. I'm very careful what I eat. I eat a semi-keto diet, so I keep my refined carbohydrates very low. And I'm very aware of, if you saw my desk behind my computer here, I have my supplements that I take that I'm food first. I always believe food first, herbal medicine second, because I'm biased, and then supplementation when necessary. So for me, the most important thing is blood glucose control because I know that's my weak spot. And then the rest is, one of the best things: exercise, blood glucose control, learning, social interaction. I'm constantly learning, constantly challenging my brain because the more you use your brain, the more you fire those neurons, the more they work for you. So that's my strategies. Never stop learning.
Never stop learning. And we're all learning from you just by listening to the Natural Healing Show. I get to learn wonderful practitioners such as yourself every week. And with that, let's take a break and listen to a message from one of our commercial sponsors. My name is Catherine Kerrigan, medical intuitive healer, Amazon number one bestselling author. We're listening to Jean Dow, medical herbalist. And at the Brain Vitality Project, we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, aunt and deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Jean Dow, you mentioned earlier in this interview that one in three women in the UK will be diagnosed in their lifetime with either Alzheimer's or dementia. Why are women, especially during and after menopause, at greater risk for memory problems?
Because we have more estrogen than men. And, a lot of women, a lot of people aren't aware that your brain, every single cell in your brain has an estrogen receptor on it. Estrogen is a critical hormone for brain health. And it's really interesting. A recent study by the Fawcett Society in the UK showed that one in 10 women in the UK have considered leaving their job due to menopausal symptoms. And when we go through the menopause, we have this massive drop in estrogen and drop in hormones. And it was interesting, the statistics showed that 44% of women said their ability to work is affected by menopause. 31% have taken time off due to symptoms. And almost no women are offered any adjustments or flexible options at work. And it's really common for women to notice brain changes during perimenopause and postmenopause, and we don't talk about it very much to anyone other than maybe our girlfriends. We'll go out and we'll say, "Oh my goodness, I went into the room the other day, and I went back three times and I couldn't remember what I went for." And actually, how they explain it, a lot of people they will notice brain changes, and they'll just say, "I've got menopause brain," but don't actually recognize the actual reasoning behind it. And actually, it, as if you can identify it, there's a lot that you can do.
Yes, I can remember, and I'm 66 years old as of this recording, but I can remember when I went through menopause, I literally got lost 5 minutes from my house because I was like, wait a minute, I just couldn't think.
Yeah.
So, what simple steps can women in their 40s and 50s take to protect their brains?
There are so many things you can do. There is the obvious thing of HRT, which some women choose to take. There are natural forms of this. And certainly, if you have an early menopause, the evidence shows that for a very early menopause, HRT is something that should be seriously considered, because
And
that
by
is
early menopause, what ages are you referring to?
before the ages of 44, 45. Even around 45, 46, there is enough evidence showing that people who actually go through an early menopause, it does give them a slightly higher risk for both bone health and brain health. So that is one thing to consider. There is so much nutritional options out there. We have got some of the most amazing nutritionists that can help with eating foods that are rich in the kind of things that are going to give you support for your hormones. Herbal medicine is fabulous. I would say about 30% of my practice are menopausal women, and it hugely successful. It's interesting because there are many women who can't use HRT, and they should seriously be considering seeing a herbalist, because we can deal with the majority of the symptoms. And when you consider that some of these herbs are very specific for brain function, Dr. Dale Bredesen uses herbal medicine as part of his protocol, and the research backs it up. You can use herbal medicine, but also getting support for sleep and stress management. Both of those things affect hormones massively and brain health.
All right. Now, Jean Dow, you are a medical herbalist, and of course, works for your body will not necessarily work for everybody. But what herbs do you regularly take for your own brain health?
And again, this is where it becomes slightly difficult, because we know the research on they have researched two or three herbs. Well, there's about five herbs that I've got fantastic research on for brain health. But the difficulty is with functional medicine and personalized medicine, it is personalized. And we work, herbal medicine is not the same as medicine, it's not the same as drugs. So everyone takes the same drug for the same condition with mainstream medicine. In herbal medicine, it's very much based on the individual. So, for example, I have a choice of about 16 adaptogenic herbs, and they range from herbs that are cold and bitter. And so someone who's very cold and weak wouldn't work with those, right up to warm and nourishing and sweet. And so it's very, very much an individualized approach in herbal medicine. But we do know that things like ginkgo biloba, bacopa monnieri, ashwagandha, which is Withania somnifera, a herb called Centella asiatica, gota kola. These plant medicines have been shown to increase synaptic firing in the brain. And as I said earlier, that's how your brain communicates. And it's shown to increase the length of dendrites, which shrink in dementia.
So, Jean Dow, let's go over these top five herbs for memory and one by one. So, the first one that you mentioned was ginkgo. Could you sort of give us a one or two sentence summary of the benefits of ginkgo? And we're going to go through these one by one. Being a
Okay.
medical herbalist, what are the benefits of ginkgo?
So ginkgo biloba it's a Chinese herb. So I use it very sparingly. I'm a Western herbalist, so I tend to use Western herbal medicines. But the research, I've chosen those because there's extensive research, because China does massive amounts of research into their herbal medicines. We have an equivalent in the UK and in Europe called Staccas botonica, which is wood betony. So the two of them are synonymous. Ginkgo biloba and Staccas botonica, they increase the blood supply to the brain. So they basically support the cardiovascular system within the brain. So they increase blood flow, they're antioxidant. It's been known to dramatically improve memory, as does a simple herb called Rosmarinus officinalis. That also will do the same, increase the blood supply to the brain.
Now you mentioned wood betony. Tell us that that's the European equivalent of ginkgo.
Yes, it's the same. And the reason that it does exactly the same, it's fantastic for memory, for concentration. It's classed as a scholar's herb. So it's one of the herbs that we use when people are studying because it increases focus and concentration. And so that is because of the increase in blood supply. And the reason I would use that is that herbal medicines have different strengths and potencies depending on the climate that they're grown in and where they're grown. So a Chinese medicine on a Western body can be too pushy. So, for example, somebody taking ginkgo can feel a bit heady and a bit spacey, whereas Stachys you wouldn't be if you're a Western body. And equally, if you were Chinese, you would probably want the ginkgo biloba.
Yes. Now, what about bacopa? How does bacopa benefit our brain?
So Bacopa monnieri, the research in Bacopa has been shown that it stimulates neurons. It stimulates the neurogenesis of neurons in the brain.
Which is generating new brain
New
cells.
brain cells and new brain pathways. Again, it's also antioxidant. A lot of these herbs do a very, very similar thing. So again, a huge antioxidant. And Withania somnifera, Dr. Bredesen,
That's
and
ashwagandha for our audience.
ashwagandha. So
Yes.
ashwagandha again has been shown to increase the they've all been also shown to increase the kind of lymphatic system in the brain, which is like our lymphatic system in the body. So it basically helps clean the brain and clear out the brain. Ashwagandha is also an adaptogen, so it will support the body's resilience and adaptation ability, which is really important. It's not for everyone. If you are hyperthyroid, then Withania isn't appropriate, and this is where they are all adaptogens are not the same. So if you're hyperthyroid, you don't want to be taking Withania because it increases thyroid hormones. But again, it does the same.
And then Sentinella, so tell us about the benefits of Sentinella.
Centella asiatica is my go-to adaptogen brain herb for everyone. So this is the one that really there's a lot of research in terms of increasing neural pathways. Clearing the brain, reducing inflammation, massive anti-inflammatory to the brain, a beautiful, safe adaptogen that anyone can use. It's also a great tissue restorative and healer. It really is one of the most powerful healing herbs.
And will you spell that for everyone? Because
Yes.
everybody listening is going to be like, okay, I need to go get
I
that one.
need to get this. So Centella asiatica, it's got two names. It can either be Centella asiatica or hydrocotyl. So Centella is Centella, and asiatica, so as in Asia, asiatica. And the alternative name is hydrocotyl, so hydrocotyl. You're testing my spelling now, Catherine.
I didn't realize you were going to be on a spelling test. And what about GoTo Cola? So, what are the brain benefits of GoTo Cola?
That's the common name for Centella
Okay, all right.
asiatica.
So easier. I've definitely we've all heard of GoTo Cola. So yes. So the top five herbs for the brain: ginkgo biloba, bacopa, ashwagandha, GoTo Cola. And so, what's the fifth one?
I would definitely say probably something like rosemary. Remember, even the traditional use of rosemary, its common name is rosemary for remembrance.
Yes.
So even way, way back, it was known as it's a cardiovascular tonic. So it supports the cardiovascular system, crosses the blood-brain barrier. It's very specific for blood supply to the brain. So that's probably one of my top herbs.
And with that, let's take a break and listen to a message from one of our commercial sponsors here at UK Health Radio. You're listening to the Natural Healing Show. My name is Catherine Kerrigan, medical intuitive healer, Amazon number one best-selling author. And our guest today is Jean Dow, medical herbalist. We'll be right back.
UK Health Radio. the station that makes you feel good.
Optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list? Then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one super supplement brand, help you achieve that in the most convenient and comprehensive way possible. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health, sleep, emotional balance, and more. Benefit from the power, purity, and positivity of our award-winning powder sachets or our therapeutic capsule range. Use code RADIO15 at reviveactive.com and save 15% off today. Super supplements for a super you.
Cappuccino, latte, Americano, flat white, macchiato.
Just imagine, for less than the price of a single cup of coffee out on the high street, you could enjoy an award-winning online magazine every month with up-to-the-minute information on health and healthy lifestyle. Sounds like a good trade-off? Check out Health Triangle magazine on the UKHealthRadio.com website. Just sacrifice a single cup of coffee every month.
Let's all put health first.
The station that makes you feel good.
So Jean Down, medical herbalist, I agree with you. Food first, herbs second. Mm-hmm. Now, this may be an easy question for you because you are a medical herbalist. Why should people turn to herbs first rather than pharmaceutical drugs to improve their brain?
That's an interesting question. I think for brain health, I'm not saying that for every condition you would go to herbs before drugs, because there are some conditions that may need drugs. But for brain health, I think probably because I see the research failing, I see the research is too simplistic. It's trying to pinpoint a magic bullet. And there is no such thing. The body is this incredibly complex system. We seem to have streamlined health into these separate compartments. You know, if you have a heart disease, you go to see a cardiologist, a gastroenterologist for your gut, an immunologist for your immune system, a respiratory consultant for your lungs. You know, nobody ever puts you back together again. And the body is a complex you know, amazing, amazing self-healing, self-regulating mechanism. And a silver bullet drug, I don't believe, is something that will cure Alzheimer's. We know that it only slows it down. Whereas one of the reasons that I think herbal medicine works so well and why it's actually being incorporated into such, you know, really a dynamic research that's being carried out just now is because we've lived alongside plants for an awful long time. We live amongst a medicine cabinet. You know, my dad is just, he's just planted this amazing wildflower garden in his garden. And when it first came up, he said, "Jean, it's all weeds." And I said, "Dad, it's not weeds. Look what's growing there. You've got, you know, you've got shepherd's purse, and you've got, he had all these medicines in this wild garden." And plants are complex. And plants are, when you use them in their entireties, when you use a whole plant medicine, which is what I use, I don't use extracts of, I only use a whole plant. The plant in itself has its own amazing biochemistry. A great example of this is something like aspirin. Mm. You know, we will take aspirin from the plant Salix alba, white willow, or Filipendula ulmaria, meadowsweet. That's where we get aspirin from. And that aspirin is an acid. And if you take too much aspirin, you get a stomach ulcer. But we use Filipendula and Salix alba to treat stomach ulcers because the plant in its entirety, it has the acid in it, which is an anti-inflammatory, but it has buffer systems that protect the lining of the stomach. And so the plant is an incredibly complex mechanism. They're powerful, but they're gentle. And I believe that you need something like that in order to participate in the healing of the body. I'm not saying it's the only thing, but it definitely is a really, really valuable addition.
Now, Jean Dowell, just yesterday, I sent a text to a long-term client who I know has been taking a medication called gabapentin for pain, which is gabapentin is a common pain medicine. Well, the research shows that something like 40% of people who take gabapentin end up getting dementia. And gabapentin increases your risk of dementia by up to 40%, according to medical literature. I'm 66 years old. I don't take any drugs. What drugs set people up for getting dementia? I'm sure that when you have clients who come to me, to you, as they come to me, they may be on all kinds of drugs. So what sort of pharmaceutical drugs should we avoid if we want to avoid getting dementia?
It's a difficult one because some people need to take them for certain conditions. So I think there's a lot of research behind the overuse of PPIs. So PPIs, proton pump inhibitors, things like omeprazole. Mm-hmm. And this is because it's shutting down one of the main protective mechanisms in the body to protect you from infection. Mm-hmm. But it's also reducing your absorption of nutrients, things like B12, which are critical for brain function. The difficulty is if you have something like a high risk for esophageal cancer, then you would need to take something like that. So there's always these individual cases where it's absolutely necessary. But PPIs were never designed to be on long term. The idea is that you use them when you need them and you get off them fast and you adjust your diet. Mm-hmm. It's my biggest bugbear is people who've been on PPIs for 20 years and they're still eating the same bad diet and they still have hyperacidity. And so we know that that's one drug. There is, I think, mounting evidence about the use of statins. Mm-hmm. And that's because cholesterol, if you look at the precursor to all of your hormones, so your progesterone, your cortisol, anti-inflammatory, estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, the precursor to all of them is cholesterol. And these hormones are considered nutrients to the brain. They are part of the parcel that is being looked at in terms of nourishing the brain. So whenever you plummet someone's cholesterol levels down to 3 and 4 in the UK measurements, you're reducing their capacity to produce any of these hormones. And these are literally nourishment for the brain. So I know those two in particular. And I think there are some antipsychotic medications and things that are directly linked to an increase.
And as a medical intuitive healer, I worked with a client who was taking opioid drugs. And I could see that the opioids were literally destroying her brainstem. Yeah. So very, very scary. So going back to the top five herbs that you recommend are ginkgo, biloba, bacopa, ashwagandha, gotu kola, and rosemary. And so what about lifestyle changes? What are the top lifestyle changes you find make the biggest difference in improving our brain function and preventing dementia?
The one thing I do also want to qualify about those medications is that they have to be, if you are on any mainstream medications, then you do need to be careful with what you're taking. So for example, gotu kola, ginkgo biloba is a blood thinner. So mm-hmm. if you are on a blood thinner, you need to be careful with ginkgo biloba. And rosemary can increase blood pressure. So if you have high blood pressure, you don't want to be taking that as well. That's where, when you're on mainstream medications, it's useful to actually go and have something prescribed. We use polypharmacy, which is using 5, 6, 7, 8 medicines together. So we don't use just individual ones. So that's just as an aside. Things that you can do to actually change things. Exercise, first and foremost, absolutely. I would be getting a really not just a kind of exercise that I occasionally go out and exercise, a really good routine of exercise. You want to be exercising maybe 3 times a week. If you're not physically able, so if there's some sort of disability, there's lots and lots of other things you can do, simple things like chair yoga. And I always have it adapted, but do some physical exercise. Even if you're in a wheelchair, you can do many weights with your arms. You can work whatever muscles you can. Balance your blood sugar levels. Insulin, which is a hormone that that brings down your blood sugar levels. If your insulin is high, there is a little hormone called insulin degrading hormone that has to break down high insulin. That little hormone's second job is cleaning your brain. So if it's busy bringing down your insulin levels, it ain't cleaning your brain. And it does that at nighttime. So we always recommend maybe 2 hours before bed, the last meal, 2 to 3 hours before bed, and then a nice fasting period. So exercise, balancing your blood sugar levels, prioritizing sleep. We go to bed and we think that we go to bed and nothing happens. Your body is absolutely working hard for you during the night. And it's working in the various stages of sleep. We need good, solid, continuous sleep in order to consolidate memory, in order to consolidate emotional health, and for the body to replace and clean and repair brain function. And then I would definitely consider hormone health, make sure that's stable, especially for women. And the biggest one is stress. You need to have some stress management in the house. Nowadays, my goodness, we're living in such stressful times. And it's very overwhelming and it's easy to be overwhelmed. So managing the amount of information you're taking in that's stressful and having good stress techniques. Remember, stress will always increase inflammation in the body and increases cortisol, disrupts your blood sugar levels and increases inflammation.
Great information. And I have to give a shout out to yoga. I've taught yoga now for 31 years at age 66. I teach yoga literally 9 times a week. And the research shows that older women, and that's defined as over 60, older women who've practiced yoga for 8 years or more have more gray matter in their brain.
Yes.
So very protective for your brain. Now, Jean Dow, what kind of testing can people do to understand their personal risk for dementia? If someone's worried that they might get dementia, what sort of lab tests should they do?
I mean, when we're working with patients individually, we do really extensive testing. So we're testing for gut health. We're testing for mycotoxins, which we know are neuroinflammatory. We test for environmental chemicals. We test their oral health. A lot of people forget that their gut health's one thing, but your oral health, think of how close the proximity to your mouth is to your brain. Mm-hmm. And this is mucous membrane, which means that whatever is growing in there is absorbed straight through into the bloodstream. So we test that. But if you've not got access to things like that, even just basic things, get your blood sugar levels checked. Go to someone that will check your insulin levels. In the UK, that's fairly straightforward. I use labs that are all over the UK. There's about 40 of them. Check for inflammation. So a thing called high sensitivity CRP is a good measurement. Check your cholesterol levels. Make sure your healthy cholesterol is high. That's the big thing. We focus so much on the unhealthy. Get your high, your healthy cholesterol high.
And that's the HDL.
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 The way to remember it is LDL is lousy. Lousy DL and healthy DL.
Yes. Yes.
So the healthy
heaven. Yes.
H for heaven. Get that up. That's your oily fish and your olive oils and things like that. Plant sterols. Again, some other tests, things like homocysteine. That's a thing that will measure. It's directly so easy to bring down if it's high, but it's an inflammatory marker for the heart. So it's such a simple thing to repair as long as you know it's not right, as long as you know it needs repaired.
And if you have high homocysteine levels, B vitamins definitely help.
Yes. Methylated B vitamins will immediately normalize it. And it's one of those things, if you don't know to treat.
Yes. And I want to put a shout out to the organization foodforthebrain.org. And they have a free online cognitive test that you can do that takes about 15 minutes. And they also offer lab tests. And basically, they test your vitamin D, your B complex, and your omega-3s, which is pretty much a clue that if you want to prevent dementia, you want to be taking vitamin D, B complex, and enough fish oil. I tell everybody our age, get on a really high-quality omega-3, no heavy metals in it, and stay on it forever.
Yes, 100% agree. And in the UK, you can imagine, I test my patients' vitamin D levels. They are shocking. They're not just low, they're clinically deficient. Yeah. And the dosage that's recommended by mainstream, unfortunately, is ridiculous.
So
I mean,
what?
I'm on 5,000 IU and I'm still low. They're recommending 400.
I actually take 10,000 IUs of vitamin D every day, and I live in Atlanta.
Yeah.
It's south, where it's very sunny.
Well, yeah. I now get an injection because it's the fastest way to do it. And I do that for my patients too. It's the best way. Yeah.
So, Jean Dow, as you know, many people have a family history of dementia. My father died of dementia. So for someone worried, but he had a different lifestyle than I do, for sure. For someone worried about their memory, what should they do first? What should their first step be?
Don't panic. That's the first step. Don't panic. The research now is really showing that there is a lot you can do. This is the reason we got into this. Charmaine, my clinic buddy, Charmaine has a family history of dementia, which is why this all started. And this is why this was her passion and why we ended up together with this program. So the first thing is don't panic, but take active steps. Read some of the information that's out. There's tons of information out. Get in touch with us. You know, we're not trying to drag you in, but we can send you some information. Attend some of our workshops, because in the workshops, what we're doing is we're going through all of the steps that you can take. You know, we're talking about your sleep. We're talking about what food you can do. There's tons and tons of research out there. But the first thing is don't panic, don't stress about it, but do something. My first thing would be to be eating clean. Start with what you're putting in your body. And then if you can afford to get some testing done, get some basic testing done. And as you say, there's now a lot of free testing. There's a lot of free cognitive tests as well before anyone panics. Do that.
Great information. You've been listening to the Natural Healing Show for UK Health Radio. Our wonderful guest, Jean Dow, medical herbalist and functional medicine practitioner. My name is Catherine Kerrigan, medical intuitive healer, Amazon number one bestselling author. You can find out more about me and my work at catherinekerrigan.com and unlimitedenergynow.com. You can find out more about Jean Dow and the Brain Vitality Project at cognition.co.uk, and you can find out more about Jean Dow and her wonderful work at jeandowherbalist.co.uk. And remember, if you are concerned about dementia, you can turn to lifestyle and herbs first and heal yourself naturally. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Natural Healing Show. Keep it natural. Be the Natural Healing Show.